Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm Blake Oliver, and I'm joined today by Brandon Poe of Poe Advisors. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Blake. It's good to be on.
Poe Group Advisors, I should say. And Poe Group is specializes in brokering accounting firms. You started in 2003, so you've been doing this for a while, Brandon. I imagine you have had quite a few clients, quite a few deals you've put together. Do you have any idea roughly of how many you've done?
I think we're probably north of 500 now. So, wow. Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of firms, all different kinds, I imagine. And what I'm really interested in talking to you today about is traditional firms versus subscription firms. And there's a lot to unpack in those definitions. But when I think of a traditional firm, the first thing that comes to mind is billing hourly after the fact. And when I think of subscription firm, I think of fixed fees, priced up front, paid in advance. Did I get that right? Or is there anything you want to add to it?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is, you know, when I think of a traditional firm, I also think of a brick and mortar practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot, what I've noticed on cloud firms or virtual firms is that a lot of them are subscription based. And so just that little distinction there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, my firm, we were fixed fee. We were totally virtual. We could work anywhere, clients anywhere. And that made a huge difference for us in terms of just our costs, right? Our profit margin was so much higher because we didn't have all this overhead of a physical office. And I imagine that makes these virtual subscription firms more valuable than the traditional ones.
They do. And you know, when we're talking about valuation, I think just for context, there are a lot of factors that play into value, as you might imagine. And we like to think of it in terms of like number of potential buyers. So if you have a lot of buyers, you're going to get a higher price, higher valuation, probably better terms at closing than if you have very few buyers in the marketplace for your practice. So when you look at like one of the main factors is location. So if you have a traditional brick and mortar firm and you're in a rural location, let's say, you might have very few buyers because very few people want to move to wherever that practice is and live in that community. So location becomes a big factor in valuation. And you look at the virtual model or the cloud model, and your market is really nationwide. You know, we sell cloud firms from people all over the country. So
give me an idea of what you're talking about. If I am brick and mortar, how many buyers might I have versus if I'm virtual?
Well, it's not uncommon for us when we market a cloud firm to have a couple of hundred inquiries. And in a major metropolitan area, we might have 50 or 60 inquiries on a nice firm.
Got it.
And then in a rural area, sometimes we're lucky if we have 10 inquiries,
mm-hmm.
if it's very rural. And there are other things that definitely play into it. Cash flow to owner, the mix of services, your fee quality, your owner dependency, how many hours the owner works in the practice, your growth trajectory. So we look at all of those things. And so it is difficult to isolate a single factor and say, okay, this factor is going to have a 30% increase in valuation, or you kind of have to look, and every practice is different. Every, you know, there's varying factors that you have to kind of consider them all together.
Yeah. So it's not as simple as I would like it to be, where we could just say you bill hourly, it's, you know, this multiple, you bill subscription, it's this multiple. All other things held the same, you know?
I wish I could isolate it. I mean, like, it's so hard. I could have two exact firms and those things might be different, but there might be some other variables that are so, you know, there's just so much. And I will say, like, I see so much variation in how firms are built. Like the business model can be so different. The profit margins can be so different. I, you know, people say, well, what's the average profitability of a practice? And my answer is like, do you really want to go for average? Because it's not very good. You know, so
Tell me, now I gotta know, what is average?
well, it depends on the size of the practice too. Like
Yeah.
what tends to happen is your profitability is going to be naturally higher when you're small, single owner, the owner's doing a lot of their production. When you hire and you scale up and the owner production becomes less of the driving force of the practice, then the margin tends to
Yeah.
come down as the practice grows.
I've seen that. I can't remember where I saw that. It was a survey of firms by size and profitability per employee. And you could see that when it was just one person, one, say, CPA, very profitable. Actually, it's great to be a solo CPA. And then as they start hiring, the graph, the chart starts to go into this valley, and it hits this like low point in between 1 and 10. Or even towards 10. And then as you get above like 10 people, it finally starts to go up again. And so you really have to like hire 10 people before you get back to where you were with one person.
Yeah, that can certainly be a pretty common experience that firm owners go through as they grow, is like you have this valley of, you know, less the struggle. It's a struggle to go
Yeah.
from, I think the hardest part is like go from like 1 million to like 3 million. That's a really hard, and that's why like acquisition can be smart for someone in that size range, because then you get that growth quickly and you don't have to suffer through it.
Okay, so seems like I'm learning that the hourly billing versus the fixed fees is a factor, but it's not necessarily the most important factor, and it's never considered by itself. You mentioned being remote, virtual. That's an important thing for the number of buyers because that drives up the price because you have more people competing for buying your firm. What else would you put at the top of the list of things that firm owners should do in advance of a sale if they want to maximize the value?
So I always tell people like, okay, I've got two metrics. If you focus on these two metrics alone, you will increase the value of your firm if you can move these in the right direction. Cash flow to owner is probably the number one. And that
Okay.
makes sense. More people want profitable firms. I can find buyers that can find financing for more firms if they're profitable. So,
Let's explain
and
this.
then, yeah,
Cash flow
yeah.
to owner. So wait, that means above the owner's compensation as a professional, what you would pay them as an employee, it's the cash they take out of the business as like the owner. Is that right?
Right. And very simply, the way we calculate it is we take the profit and loss statement from the tax return. So we have the you have to look at historical numbers. You can look at a current year P&L if something's growing really fast, but you look at 12 months. What's the profit of the business? What are you showing on your tax return? Let's add back the owner's salary. Let's add back interest, depreciation. Let's add back any owner discretionary expenses, like if you're running your automobile through the company, if you've got a salary of a child, for example, or a spouse that's not really market rate, if you're, let's say you own your building and you're charging more rent than fair market value, we would add that back. Like there's a lot of those little add backs.
Yep.
So when you get to the bottom, we call that cash flow to owner.
Okay, so it includes the owner's co it's basically owner's total compensation.
Total compensation, exactly.
And
And considering
their role as delivering services.
correct. So it's,
Okay.
yes, it's what they're taking from the business. And, you know, under, I would say, 1.5 million, a really good target for smaller firms is 50%. If you can figure out how to net at least half of what you're grossing, that's a very, you know, half or better is strong cash flow.
Knowing that it includes all those other like fringe type benefits that you're,
Correct.
yeah. Okay, got it.
Correct. And then owner hours is the other thing. You want the owner hours to be lower. Lower is
Right.
better.
Right. And that's because the buyer wants to know that they can replace you.
Correct. And my argument for subscription pricing or value pricing is that it will move the needle on those two metrics in a profound way.
Got it. So, it's a means to an end.
It is. And you know, I did a podcast with a marketing agency that's focuses on CPA firm in the CPA firm space. And, you know, he asked me about the value of the brand and things like that. It's the same sort of idea here, is like the brand has value in that it attracts good clients and they pay good fees and your profit goes up. That's what buyers are looking at. They're looking at those results, not what is creating those results necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have very good systems in place, if you have a very tried and true subscription model, in other words, you didn't just roll this model out. These clients have been on this pricing structure for a while. You've got a good track record. You're able to grow the business profitably, then that's going to be very attractive to a buyer.
So we've got two metrics to pay attention to: cash to owner and owner's hours. We want cash to owner to go up, ideally to 50%. And we want owner's hours to go down to, what's a good benchmark?
I mean, at least under 2,000, but I have seen virtual firms that are very well systematized get into the, you know, 400 and 500 mark for an mm-hmm. owner. So you're creating a real business at that point.
And are those hours like client work hours?
A mix of client work, you know, business management, just a mix of all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Typically, though, when someone's really down to that 500 mark, they're not really doing any client work.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be very difficult to do client work and run the business if you're only doing 500 hours. Okay, that's great to know. Okay, and then what's the spread on valuations these days? I've heard it can be quite wide.
It's very wide. So for a traditional firm, the sort of rule of thumb in the industry is a 1x multiple, 1x annual gross revenue. And yeah, you know, that holds up fairly well. You know, in a fire sale situation, you might have 50 cents on the dollar, you know, for a really, you know, if there's a health problem with the seller. Or,
yep.
And then
CPA
on the
owner passes away, right?
Right. So fire sale situation could be very low like that. And then, you know, you see really high quality firms that are traditional, but have good fees, good profitability. For a cash deal, not a seller finance deal or an earnout type of deal, for a cash deal, we see prices in the, you know, 1.2 to 1.4 range for a very well operated firm in a good metropolitan area. And then you get the outliers, which are virtual firms that are highly systematized, that are not owner dependent, and they're profitable. And we see multiples of 1.4 to all the way up to 2 on the high end for a cash deal.
Yeah. So there's the spread there, is if you have a fire sale situation for a traditional firm, could be 50 cents on the dollar. And if you are a really well systematized virtual subscription firm, you could be getting 2x your annual revenue.
With, as long as the 2x, just to be clear, that's a rare multiple for a firm. It's got to be profitable with low owner hours and systematized and virtual.
And when you say systematized, I assume that means good technology is in place. How important is technology in these deals?
Well, I think, you know, in a firm that's cloud and has a lot of potential to scale, the systems are very important. And if you've, the systems and the team are important. You know, how important, it depends on who the buyer is. I think, some buyers already have really good systems, and so they can roll a practice into their existing structure. So the systems aren't.
I see. Right. There's a lot of buyers who just want to roll up your firm into theirs. They don't really care about your specific tech because they're just going to put you onto theirs.
they're going to put you on there.
Yeah.
So, but the team is very important because capacity is very important. As you know, the industry is a little short on staff right now. So,
just a tidbit.
Just a little bit.
Just
so,
a smidgen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
what about an example? You know, there's do you have an example in your experience of a owner who made a strategic decision, like decided to really change their firm and ended up having like a great outcome?
Well, yeah, I got a few of those. I mean, we had, so I don't know if you know this or not, but we have a coaching program called Accounting Practice Academy, which is a virtual program for firm owners or administrators. And, I had a traditional firm, brick and mortar firm. It was a really interesting use case because when the seller came to me, it was a husband and wife team. He wasn't sure if he was ready to sell or not. He was feeling burned out. He was working a lot of hours. And I said, well, you know, it's a hard decision. The timing of the decision is the hardest thing you have to decide. I said, but if you're feeling burned out, maybe if you address that, maybe you could work another 5 or 10 years. Maybe you'd want to. And so he agreed to take our Accounting Practice Academy. And when they came into the program, they were doing about 1.2 million in revenue, and they were cash flowing about 600K, which is a pretty good metric for two partners, though. It was a husband and wife, two partner firm.
The cash to the partner, 600K, or
for both
cash
partners.
To the owner. Yeah.
Right. For both partners. So,
married couple. So that's not bad, right?
Not bad. And it was a good firm. It had good clients, had a pretty good team. And so they went through our program. The first thing they did was, and the first thing we usually have to address is capacity because firms don't have it. And so if you're feeling burned out, it's probably because you're overworked.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up letting go of about 100 clients. So that was kind of the first phase of their implementation. And then they rolled out package-based value pricing subscription, not 100% of their clients, but like to their recurring bookkeeping monthly revenue clients. And they also rolled out some pretty significant price increases. So they go through the program. It seems to be working well. And they also rolled out some light advisory work. So some of those package included some advisory work. And I get a call in December. They took the program this summer. The following December, he calls me. He says, you know, it was great, but I've decided I really am ready to sell. So we put the firm on the market for like a 1.5 million on a 1.2 revenue firm. We get an offer in January, goes under contract. So I think everything's good. And then I get a call back from him in March. And he says, I think we need to let this deal collapse. And I said, oh, what's going on? Why do you want to do that? He goes, well, first of all, the buyers missed the deadline, so we have an easy out. And all the things that we implemented last year, we're projecting we're going to do probably 1.6 or 1.7 million in revenue, and we're working way less. And we've given our employees a raise, and just about all the top line revenues fallen to the bottom. And so we went back to market at almost 2 million and we sold it for all cash later that year. So
wow.
These changes in your pricing structure. And I feel like I tell people, hey, if you don't like your practice, keep increasing the prices until you like your practice.
Sounds so simple when you put it that way.
It's very simple, but it also works. Like, I think that's one of the biggest levers that accountants have is that pricing lever.
It really is, but it's painful to do. It's hard to do it. I've been there myself. But it's also the solution to so many problems in our profession. I was just on talking with David Leary on one of our recent episodes, and we were going over this survey of mostly large accounting firms. You know, how many hours do the staff work? And this is reported by the staff, so you know it's pretty accurate. And there's a lot of like senior staff working 50 hours a week. And I'm thinking to myself, the firm could solve this real easy just by increasing prices by 20 to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if 20 to 30% of your work goes away. Now you're at 40 hours.
Problem solved.
Right. So it's kind of funny how, as accountants, I feel like we should understand economics. But
well, yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting? What's interesting about that, Blake, is I've had clients go up 20, 30, 40%, and they don't lose any clients.
They don't lose any clients. Yeah, that's a great problem to have.
So you, I tell people, like, if you really don't want the client, you're gonna have to fire the client.
I don't know, Brandon. Maybe I should. This might be part of your academy or something, but I'm feeling like maybe I should just start a consulting practice where all I do is I go into firms and I just raise their prices for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, so, you'd be busy. You'd have plenty of work doing that.
And just take a cut of the action there. Like George Clooney in that movie where he goes and fires people, right? But instead of firing the employees, I'm firing the clients.
Yeah.
You know? Well, Brandon, it's been great talking to you. I learned so much. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, you know, if firms are interested, I do have a book that we put out as ebook.
Tell us about your book and the academy.
So this is basically like the playbook on, this is like a mini explanation of what Academy is. It's called Prepare Your CPA Firm for a Sale. You can get it at our website, which is pogroupadvisors.com/prepare. And it's a nice little introduction to the concepts. None of these concepts are really all that difficult. You know, Blake, I mean, it does. It sounds very simple, and it is simple, but it's hard.
It doesn't happen overnight, right? You have to do it deliberately over time.
And you have to keep doing it. You know, you have to keep experimenting with prices. Even if you're on a subscription model, you're going to have to increase prices periodically. And that needs to be something, that needs to be a skill that you develop.
Yeah.
So
that website is pogroupadvisors.com/prepare. Go get the book.
Is the book.
That's great. Well, thanks for coming on the show and giving us some insight into all of this. I hope it helps our accounting firm owners in the audience and those who may want to own one someday get the most for all their hard work.
Yeah. Thank you, Blake.